podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
In this episode...
Someone make a transfer, please.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, listeners. Welcome to episode 5 of Planet FPL's 30 in 30. My name's Serge.
My name is James.
And this is back to just you and me, mate.
Yeah.
Let's get it right for the listeners. It's Tuesday. No, it's Wednesday. It's Tuesday.
It's Tuesday. June the 4th.
June the 4th. Tuesday, 3 days after the Champions League finale. James back in the office today. And we'll talk about the Champions League. So we're on episode 5 of our 30 in 30. We've got a little bit more Champions League content coming out on episode 8, which we'll leave you to look forward to because that's going to be a really good one. We've already spoken to Bradley Parker. We've spoken to Sky Player and FPL.
And Chris.
And we've spoken to Chris, FPL Addict. We've got FPL Canal coming tomorrow.
FPL Pringle on Friday.
Already in the can. There's plenty recorded. There's a lot of awesome content to come out still. I enjoyed speaking to all of them so far.
Yeah, no, the shows have been great. Really enjoyed all of them. I think afterwards we've all been left with the feeling of the feedback of people. I think, I mean, at this stage we've only really had the feedback of Bradley's and Paul's Skyplayer and FPL. And the feedback on both is like great. So many people have come to me and went, oh, I want to play a Sky game now.
Yeah. That's interesting.
And I think Bradley's give people plenty to think about. Wolves are such an interesting one for next season, where they're going to be at price-wise and that.
Yeah, we had a good old chat with Chris, FPL Addict, on Football Index as well, which is something that a degenerate gambler like me would be tempted to try. But that was something new. I learned quite a bit there. All of the people we've interviewed are proper fans of their clubs, to be fair. I was blown away with even Johnny Pringle, FPL Pringle, today. He's City through and through. Bradley's been going to Wolves for how long? They're proper fans of their clubs, you know. So insightful. They're not just Johnny come lately. He's proper fans.
The thing that the listeners are going to find the longer this goes on as well is like they're nearly all great FPL players as well.
I think Chris, FPL Addict, who went live today, was the lowest ranked other than me in the correspondence, and he was still like 300k or something like that. So really, really good ranks across all of them. So it's been interesting. We still got plenty more to go, and we have been getting feedback from people and also ideas and suggestions, like why don't you try doing this or that, or interview this person or that person. And we're logging it all, because all ideas are welcome.
I tell you what we should do quick, because one of the things we've had fed back, particularly from episode 3 and the podcast with Bradley, is pronunciations.
Oh, okay.
So it's
Doherty.
So it's
it's Matt Doherty.
Have you seen that?
I have seen
that. Who's FPL Rome tweeted in and said, you're not pronouncing it right.
We're putting too much dough in the dough. It's door.
I just said I'd come off like a racist if I did it properly.
It's Doherty.
And it's
Doherty.
Diogo Jota.
Jota. Well, we should have known that, because Portugal, like Jose Mourinho instead of Jose.
And it's going to be important we start
getting... Portuguese is hard J's, right?
That's right. And it's going to be important we start getting that right, because Diogo Jota, who plays for Birmingham, has been linked with a move for Aston Villa.
Okay.
So we might next year have Diogo Jota and Diogo Jota.
Okay. So we need Jota.
So it's Jota.
Okay. Jota pen. Jota notepad.
Tell me now if I got that fucking wrong.
So we'll work on our pronunciation.
And I'm here just trying to put off the Champions League final, basically.
Let's talk about the Champions League. My Champions League final experience will have been completely different to your Champions League final experience.
Do you want to tell me about yours first?
I had to go to a wedding reception.
On selfish
Saturday
bastards.
Night. To be honest, they all mentioned it in all of their speeches, right? So it was my nephew's he's my nephew, but he's similar age. He's like 32. So it was his wedding reception, and him and his wife made an entrance, and she said a few words, and she straight away made reference to the fact that the football, they'd clashed with the football and how much of a problem it had been, that he was desperately trying to get the football on the screens and she was desperately trying to avoid it. And then she made reference to the fact that we'd get the second half on the screens in the venue. There was a fair few people.
If they'd not
people.
Fucking mentioned it in the speeches, presumably they could have put it on a bit earlier.
Well, quite possibly. So I was told very clearly, you're going to get the second half of the game is going to be on the screen. It's like, fair play. Okay, if I don't get the first half, I'll get the second half. I don't know, for some reason, shit was running late. At 8 o'clock, the first dance starts. I've got BT Sport on my phone, haven't I, on my notes. I'm sitting there on the table watching the game. Everyone around the table standing up to look at the first dance. My missus turns to me, what are you doing? I was like, I watched that on the fucking video when they released that. I'm watching the game. So I watched the first 35 minutes, whilst speeches were going on. And if my cousin listens back to this, sorry, mate. But I watched the first 30 minutes, then switched it off and was sensible for half time. And they said they were going to slow the second half, but the speech has dragged on for so long. Got the last 15 minutes on screen, and that was it. So I got the first 30 and the last 15, and the rest was on like Vidi, you know, Vidi printer or whatever, watching the text commentary come through.
Vidi printer for one game.
Well, you know, the live text commentary, where they update it. So I was just keeping an eye on that with, and gently having a couple of beers. So I didn't get to watch the whole game, but your experience was probably better than mine, apart from losing.
Different, to say the least, is one of the longest days of my life, mate, just from a point of view of being awake.
Yeah.
It was a comfortable run through of nearly 24 hours up, about an hour kip.
On the plane?
Yeah, coming back, and then I was up for about another 5 hours, because I got home and I was like, yeah, as soon as I get home, I'm going straight to fucking sleep. I saw the little man got second wind. I was like, nah, he's bouncing around. I can't be going to sleep. I've missed him.
Went
out for breakfast with the father and Laura and his mum. Got about 4 hours sleep about lunchtime. Set the alarm so I could tweet out Paul's pod.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
I absolutely shattered. The first thing to say about the day is, oh my God, it was hot.
Yeah.
And unbelievable.
This wedding reception was in a marquee. So imagine being cooked in a marquee.
It was roasting here as well, yeah, right?
Yeah, mad hot. Lovely day.
When we got dropped off the coach, some of you might have seen, I put on Twitter, like, I've arrived, and I kind of streamed it live because I thought it was going to be a 1 minute walk around the corner, and it turned out to be about 10 minutes up a hill. And like, it was burning by the end of it. It was so hot. And
lost a few pounds on the way.
Don't be silly. I put that back on in beer,
With beer, calories straight back on.
In the things I've read about, a lot of people have been very critical of the final and the quality of it.
The football, for sure.
But I don't think you can understate like how hot that was. You're talking about two teams who normally play quite an intensity, particularly very Liverpool, with intensity, right? And particularly the fact the game had an early goal and Liverpool got it rather than Spurs, I think.
Yeah.
They adjusted their tactics really well, Liverpool. I know a lot of people say, Spurs had a lot of the ball. Listen, whichever team had been in front was going to have less of the ball in that weather because you just sit behind it.
Yeah.
It was stifling hot, even at kickoff time.
Mm.
Like, you could feel it. And these dickheads, when they done the fucking intro, I don't know what that was all about. We only come for the football, right? I don't want to see people singing on the pitch before the football. They had these fucking fire things on the pitch, didn't they?
Oh, the flame stuff. Heat the whole place up even more.
I can tell you it was real fucking fire, mate.
Yeah, yeah.
It's unbelievable. It was so hot in that place. Really nice ground. It's like a small version of
Wembley.
You'll find it out. I said a bit more about it on Saturday. Look, it wasn't to be, right?
Tell me something. Did it feel different to go in to watch another game of football, or were you just going to watch your team?
Yeah, I mean, consciously you're thinking about it. One of the things that was important to me was, like, from my perspective, I've said so many times during the last couple of months, never been at this stage, never feel like we will be again. The feeling afterwards is more like, oh, maybe we can, but at the time I was like, I have to take this in. There's no way I want to look back in, particularly if we'd won and been like, what was that? I just tried to take the whole event in. It was unfortunate the way, because we'd booked flights to go basically straight in and straight out. Got held on the plane for ages when we got there, just sitting on the plane on the tarmac. So never got to
how long? A couple of hours?
About an hour. Oh. We landed and sitting on the plane for like an hour. Trust me, I'll come back. There's worse stories than that. I was lucky and blessed that I got there. So got to the stadium. It was about half three-ish, quarter to four. I think if I'd have been me with a couple of mates, I'd have dived into the city and dived back. I was with my mum and dad.
Mm.
You know, by the time you get in the city, they were shutting everything down and getting everyone out of the city at like 5:30. So we just stayed. It was quite nice that once you entered into the stadium grounds, you could get into the stadium. The stadium didn't open till 6, but you could get into the stadium grounds at 4.
Yeah.
And you could only get into there with a ticket. Yeah. And they had like beer tents up and stuff like that. And it was fine. It was good crack. There was a shaded area on that. Otherwise, Christ, I would have fucking burnt alive.
Mm. A lot of people didn't make it.
No. So a few people I know. So I went on these Thomas Cook flights.
Yeah, yeah.
And we only found out the itinerary 2 days before. So it was meant to be 10:30 in the morning out and then 2 o'clock in the morning after the game back. On the Friday, late Friday, they moved the flight back till 5 in the morning.
Wow.
Which was hence the waiting around in airport. Obviously, no hotel booked or nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you think
yeah.
you're straight out. Not that it would have been worth getting one, to be honest. We still would have done the same.
Yeah.
But I was on a 10:30 flight out. Lad I know, who I play football with on Thursday nights, he was on 9:50. It's kind of been well documented in the news. Like they had a bird flew into the plane or something.
Nah.
What do they call it?
Bird strike.
Bird strike, yeah. So to check the plane out, it wasn't safe to fly.
Fuck.
All right, no fly out. So they go, oh, yeah, we get another plane. So I'm keeping a Tottenham Hotspur Supporters Trust, bit like Spirit of Shankly as well. Communication from them was fantastic. And it's a lot of unknown good work that supporters trust people do for free money as well, by the way. They don't earn corn on it. So I was keeping an eye on the feed and my mate on Twitter, Rob White, his name is. He was the son of John White, who got struck by lightning, who played for Spurs in the 60s. Great player, was part of the double winning team. John White got struck by lightning when Rob was, I think John White was 22 or 23.
Wow.
Rob was only a baby. So Rob wrote a really great book, which Spurs fans would love, called The Ghost of White Hart Lane. And so I'm keeping an eye on his Twitter feed and tweeting with him. It's 2 o'clock, still no plane. I'm kind of down in Madrid now, stuck on the tarmac.
Yeah.
Saying a flight's going to come from Manchester and then whiz them to Madrid. I think the flight took off from Stansted at UK time 6:30.
Nah. So that's 7:30 where
Sorry,
you are.
Sorry, UK time 5:30.
Okay. Local time 6:30.
So 2.5 hours before kickoff.
Yeah.
It's a 2 hours flight, right?
Yeah.
I think they did the flight in about 1.5 hours, 3/4. And they got a police escort straight off the plane onto a coach to the stadium. I think they missed the first 15 minutes.
Oof. Could have been worse.
You imagine that, mate.
But the whole point is the experience, isn't it? It's not just the game.
Yeah, no, that's not great. And then his flight back was scheduled to be 3 o'clock, cancelled.
3 a.m.
His flight back was cancelled as well.
3 a.m. in the morning?
Yeah, yeah, cancelled.
Yeah.
I had to wait till 8 o'clock.
Tell me what airline. Let's call him out. Let's
Thomas back. Cook Sport. If you are ever booking with them.
So was he going officially as well, like you?
So
were?
This was recommended as part of the club. You could only get on these flights once it was confirmed you had a ticket through Tottenham.
Okay, yeah. So it wasn't like Ryanair or EasyJet, none of this
no,
shit.
No. So it was
proper club organised stuff.
Yeah, everybody on
that
flight.
You could easily have been
flight,
on the wrong plane.
Yes. There were 6 of those flights. That could have been me. Could you imagine the state?
It was one out of six that cocked up.
Yep.
What a mess.
Do you imagine the state of my... You've met my old man now. The state of him.
Stressed. Panicked.
We wouldn't have got there. I would have been in prison, mate.
You think you'd have kicked off?
Oh, mate. Yeah.
Fair play.
So, yeah, look into... You'll find plenty of stories on it. The 190 is what they're calling themselves. 190 Stansted or so. Wow. They're all looking for full compensation for Thomas Cook Sport. And I think the Supporters Trust and everyone's pushing forward for them.
Yeah, yeah, quite rightly. But you know what these big companies are like.
They're going into administration as well anyway. So no sympathy for them. If you're a Chelsea or Liverpool fan thinking of going to Istanbul, find a different way other than using them. Because they did flights for Liverpool as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So dodgy. The communication for it was so poor.
Well, that's why they're getting into administration. Good riddance.
Anyway, that's nothing to do with football, is it?
The penalty was a penalty.
Well, you agree?
I was sitting on the telly, and straight away within 2 minutes, I was like, penalty! And one of the waiters walked up to me and he was like, what's the score? I was like, it's 1-0 Liverpool. He was like, oh, okay. He goes, I put 500 quid on Liverpool to win. I was like, fucking hell, that's a beefy bet, 500 quid. He goes, yeah, half time, full time, Liverpool. I've got 500 quid on it. I was like, get in. That's all right, mate. Yeah, nice one. Cheers. But it was a penalty. Can't argue with that. Well, really. His arm was quite far out.
I was having
the ball.
An argument with, or not an argument, but a conversation with Dan, our Liverpool correspondent, FPL yeah. Loco Lord, on Twitter last night, DM, and he's like, it wasn't a penalty. And I'm back there going, yeah, it was.
Yeah.
So even though he's Liverpool, his opinion was it shouldn't be. A lot of people have
Why?
Come. Well, apparently the rulings changed, and it was changed as of the final.
Okay.
Right.
I think it was from the 1st of June or something.
Yeah, and 30 seconds into the game, it's already into question. Where the idea being, if it touches any other part of your body first, it's not a penalty.
Right, okay.
But my understanding is kind of similar in an odd way to the Danny Rose handball penalty against Man City in the first leg in the quarterfinal.
Yeah.
Where I thought, if you make your body bigger,
yeah,
it's handball.
So what they're saying is, if someone crosses the ball in and I just control it on my knee and then tap it in with my hand, it's not a handball because it touched another part of my body first.
Would that be intentional, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah.
If you did that. If you were like Henri, France against Ireland, where he let it roll down his arm and scooped it with his hand,
yeah.
Then obviously it's deliberate handball. The case in point was he had this hit another part of his body first and touched his arm and therefore wasn't deliberate. My point on it is, first thing I want to say is I think Mane meant it and I think it's genius play.
Trying to play for it?
Yeah. Yeah, I genuinely thought he was there so long. He was like, if you're going to keep your fucking arm there, mate, I'm going to aim for it. And my opinion always is, if you have your hand above sort of an outstretched wide shoulder length level,
yeah,
you're asking for it.
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
I was behind the goal.
That's what I thought. His arm was too far away from his body.
At the time, I was behind the goal at that end. When the decision was given, I was, oh, fuck. But my instinct wasn't, what's going on, or it's not
yeah,
a penalty.
Yeah,
I just
penalty,
thought...
Penalty.
I know that in Europe, it's always likely to get given as well. Mm. I thought Lloris had saved it.
Yeah.
I thought he'd got there. And having seen it back, I think he probably should have saved it. Oh, Salah hit it really hard and well, but I think Hugo would be disappointed. And like I said, from there, Liverpool were able to play the game.
Yeah, I mean, how many games this season are you going into half-time with Liverpool who haven't got the majority of possession? Rare, very rare.
Not many.
You
mate.
Were what, 65%, 60-40, 65-35?
The two games against City, they might have shaded the position
exactly.
In the league this year, I think.
So for Liverpool, it might be one of the first times this season that they haven't had the majority of the possession. But I really felt Tottenham were a bit toothless in attack. Just didn't have that cutting edge.
Yeah, no, agreed. We had loads of situations where we had sort of three-on-threes.
Mm.
And the decision making was poor. It was one in the second half where it was like, somebody fucking shoot, seriously. Mm. We had 8 shots on target. I think they're all in the last 15 minutes.
Yeah. There was a point where the possession was so low, but the shots on target was zero.
The only one for me I thought was, and I've seen it back and it wasn't particularly, Eriksen's free kick from behind the goal, for half a second I could see it dropping in.
Yeah.
I do think if we'd equalised, we'd have won. I really felt that.
Ifs and buts, might be maybes though.
I was speaking to people half time saying like, if we could nick the goal, we would have a short period of opportunity where I think we'd have capitalized.
Put the pressure on.
Genuinely, I think if we'd have equalized, we'd have won. But no complaints. Like I said, all those are focusing too much on sort of possession stats. The fact we had 8 shots on target was right at the death. We had a long periods of the game where we didn't hurt them. We didn't threaten them.
Toothless. I just felt it was just... And I can understand the heat and what have you. Liverpool weren't like all guns blazing.
No, they were nowhere near
their
best.
In the first half, they did have more chances. Trent hit that shot from outside the box.
And Robertson
pretty decent,
as well. They were long-range efforts.
Yeah, they were. But they were hit well. And in the end, the second goal really killed it. And you could tell that you were pressing on too high and they got caught on the break. So, interesting fun fact... My parents were born in Kenya, so we're East African Indian. India,
you're gonna tell me
Kenya.
That Victor Wanyama is family.
Nah,
he loves spaghetti.
Nah.
You know?
But my cousin, who lives over here now, but was born and bred in Kenya, took the most amount of pleasure in telling me that Divock Origi is actually Kenyan, but then born in Belgium, and Divock Origi's dad played for the Kenyan national team. Learn new shit every day.
Right.
There you go. With Divock Origi, I think, has always been...
At least our FPL managers know at the start of the season what to do now. That's brilliant. Thanks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Get Divock Origi in if he's like £2 million. I've always rated Origi
as
potential.
I like him.
It's just a case of will he break through. I mean, personally, I'd play him ahead of Sturridge, for example.
Well, Sturridge, Liverpool have announced this afternoon, Sturridge and Moreno are being released on freeze. I can see both of them at West Ham.
Oh, that's nice for you. It's not for me.
To be honest, I'd like Daniel Sturridge at Spurs. He can come and sit on my bench.
There's never been a question of talent, and the season that he had with Suarez, they really were fire, but it just hasn't happened since. I think one of the promoter clubs might pick him up, to be honest with you. I can't see him coming to West Ham. What are you going to do?
Replace injured players.
Yeah, but I mean, think of the uproar. You're going to replace Andy Carroll with Daniel Sturridge. It's like for like. And we've also let Lucas Perez go now. He's gone to Alaves. So yeah, I mean, it's like for like. If we're thinking about getting better, you can't get Daniel Sturridge in. And Moreno ain't coming. Forget about it.
No.
We've got two decent left backs.
I think
I'd rather have Masuaku than Moreno. That says a lot.
Moreno's pretty shoddy, actually. He's not Liverpool class.
No.
They will need a new left back now. I was thinking early in terms of what can they do to really improve the squad. So I think central midfield areas is really difficult because Wijnaldum and Henderson, particularly in the last sort of 6-8 weeks of the season, really good. Wijnaldum overall had a great season. Fabinho.
But he scored quite a lot of goals as well for you wouldn't think that Wijnaldum would score 5-6 goals in the season, but he did.
Important goals at times as well.
Yeah.
Fabinho, I really like. I think he's a really good footballer. Mm. Keita, you think will be better next year?
Naby Keita. Still got Milner. Very good player.
I've got Lallana on the books.
Yeah.
So that's going to be yeah. Shaqiri more one of the front three.
Yeah,
really
probably play ahead of Mane.
So where do they go and improve? It's really difficult for them now.
Their defense, like you can't fuck with that.
Yeah, but say
as
like
well.
You'd look at say Matip. Who yeah. I thought had a really good game, and I think he's quite solid generally. I think he's better than Lovren because I just think Lovren will have great performances, but he'll have the odd 4 or 5 out of 10. When you're trying to be consistent at the top of the league, you can't afford it.
I think most people agree with you that
if they go and buy another centre half, that's going to really stifle Joe Gomez, I think, who's a top talent as well.
Yeah, yeah.
He was, you know, first choice with Van Dijk at the start of the season. I think next year he'll be, when you're looking for some sort of balance in terms of budget, Joe Gomez. For FPL, will be someone we're really.
Yeah, I mean, if he hadn't got injured, he was in your squad this season. He was in my squad this season.
I'm sure
he was.
I had him the year before at 4.5 when he was sort of dipping in and out. Mm. But yeah, if he's sort of around the 5 mark again next year, if he starts, he could actually be the sensible way to go for Liverpool. Just get them regular sort of six points every other week. He's not going to hit the bonuses of the others, but. It might do you the trick, actually, if he's going to be the cheapest. Like we you'll hear on Friday's pods, we were speaking with FPL Pringle about people like Zinchenko and Stones, and might they be the way to go defensively from City rather than, say, Laporte and Edison. I think Gomez, Liverpool, possibly.
Yeah. We need these prices, man.
Yeah.
We really do.
We're going to have a while, but we're keeping the community going at the moment. Spurs... No regrets. Main feeling is pride.
You can't have regrets.
No.
Because the reality is, and I'm not trying to be harsh, you didn't deserve to be there, really.
Why not?
Because you were lucky in quite a lot of the games.
Yes.
Look at it. Look at the group stages. It was a late comeback in the group stages and the Ajax game and the City game. So it's not that you didn't deserve to be there. At the end of the day, you go through. But it wasn't like a cruising through to the final.
No,
we definitely had strokes
of luck. I'm not going to argue, yeah.
So at that point, it's like everything that comes is a bonus, in my opinion. So
yeah. Look, my team took me to places I never thought we could be. I keep reminding myself since Saturday, think back to the Ajax and the City game. And like those two games give me emotions I'd never had before.
Yeah.
I've been going every week for 30 years. They took me to a place I never thought I'd get to. The challenge now is... Is it sustainable? Is it something we can achieve again? I think there'll be mass changes in the squad. I think Trippier's definitely looks like he's going. I still think Alderweireld will go. I think Eriksen will go. I think there's others on the fringes, definitely sort of like Llorente, Janssen and Kudu, possibly even like people like Wanyama, Dyer, Aurier. I think there could be mass changes at Spurs this summer. I think we're going to spend. I think we're going to recoup some as well.
Yeah.
It's going to be the complete opposite to a normal window for us. I think there's going to be quite an upheaval and getting these transfers is going to be particularly important.
Okay, so why do you think that? Because the club has a good culture. It's fairly settled. You don't have any players that are causing kind of unrest within the dressing room. They obviously love the manager and he's doing a good job. You've had a fairly stable, settled squad for the last 18 months to 2 years because you haven't even bought any players. You're settled and you've done well. Finishing fourth, okay, you'd rather finish third, but you've got through to the final of the Champions League. You've had half-decent cup runs. Why do you don't need the overhaul? Why do you want to get... Okay, Eriksen, I can understand people coming in to want to buy him.
Eriksen's only got a year left on his contract. You either sign or you fuck off, right?
Yeah.
I can't see Levy making the same mistakes that, say, Arsenal made recently with Ramsey and that, right?
No. Sanchez and all
the
that.
The club's still burnt with what happened with the other fellow who went to Arsenal 18, 19 odd years ago and not going to allow that position to be in that way again for a big name player.
Yeah.
Trippier is someone who, to be honest, you can just judge it by the stuff at the end of the game, the interview he had with one of the press people saying we need to sit down and talk about it. Spurs, they're talking about getting 40 million for Trippier.
Mm-hmm.
He's had a bad season. I like him as a footballer. Delivery is good. Defensively, he's not great. Spurs would look at him and go, he's 28. We've got 40 million for him. We've got a young player in Kyle Walker-Peters who I think personally might start next season and could be a real FPL budget option if he's sort of 4.5.
Yeah, or you top up your 40 million with another 10 or 20 and go and get Wan-Bissaka.
They'll look at if they decide, well, yeah, they could do something like that. They could sell Trippier and Aurier for sort of 60 to 70 million.
Just get Wan-Bissaka.
And I know that sounds laughable, right? But we spoke about Chilwell's fee, right?
Yeah.
So
it's not laughable. It's fine.
Well, it's the modern world, right? So you sell the two of them for 60 to 70 million. You bring Walker-Peters up. And then if you want to spend half of that, not on a Wan-Bissaka, because I think he'll go to a club who's going to give him more in wages. But it could be that Spurs will go, yeah, there's 60 million for that fella. I don't know. I think in terms of our style, we would want someone who's more comfortable on the ball at the moment. It's not to be critical of Wan-Bissaka, because I would love to get him. He just doesn't get beat one-on-one. But I think we'll look
That's why I mentioned him. You mentioned Trippier's not so hot defensively, so Wan-Bissaka solves that problem.
Yeah, possibly,
really.
Maybe. And then obviously Toby, as far as I'm aware, can be bought for 25 million.
Fine.
He's going to go, isn't he? If someone's going to bid that, whomever it is, even if it was a case of, I don't know, Guardiola looked at him
as backup
for, say, a John Stones or something, or compete with John Stones as a short-term option,
Toby's
maybe.
Alderweireld's better than Stones, in my opinion. Well, there's not much
He's not a better technical player. He's certainly a better defender at the moment. And you'd think if City are maybe missing a bit of leadership there, that kind of profile might work as a short-term solution. I don't see him going to United now. I've said I think it'd be a bad signing for United. I think they need to target younger players. I know I've seen the last couple of days being mentioned with Harry Maguire again, which whether that's the right and De Ligt, obviously. Some people think that's a done deal. Some people think he's going to Barcelona. I don't know.
£250,000 a week is mad money, though.
If they get De Ligt, it's a great signing.
Of course, but it's
no
mad
question.
Money.
No question. Yeah, but then that's your centre-half for 10 years now. Start thinking with like a forward-thinking eye. United are... It's the Mourinho effect, right? You're just looking to plug holes.
Yeah.
Go and have a philosophy of, okay, that's our target. If they decide it's Harry Maguire, go Harry Maguire. He's going to be your centre-half for the next 5 years. If they get De Ligt, that's an unbelievable signing.
Mm.
He could be at United for 10, 15 years.
Yeah. What else has been going on in the transfer rumour mill? Not much.
Well, we're waiting to see what happens at Newcastle still.
Yeah, no news on the Sheikh coming in.
The interesting thing about that with Newcastle is the clock is obviously ticking in terms of Benitez's contract runs out on June the 30th.
Right.
And suddenly from being in a position where obviously they're getting excited, thinking they're getting this crack cocaine fucking hit of money.
Yeah.
To being in a position where they might hit the end of the month and they've got no owner confirmed and no manager. And then suddenly you're starting the season and it's fucked.
Yeah.
So it's kind of day to day with Newcastle at the moment. We don't really know what's happening.
Lacazette, Barcelona, rumours I heard today.
I heard Aubameyang China this morning as well, which I know Adam said that was before Arsenal bought Aubameyang, said that was a strong rumour. And actually, I don't think we spoke about Nketiah recently. We were speaking on episode one.
Yeah.
About Arsenal's youth. Young talents they've got. And say someone like Nketiah is going to be completely blocked off by Aubameyang and Lacazette. And actually, unfortunately, Arsenal looked better probably when one of those two has played in a more wider role. And actually, it might be better off
with only one of them.
If they sell one, it gives them a lot more funds to spread. We spoke about the difficulty they might have in buying good players. If you suddenly, what's Aubameyang's market value? It'd be more than what they paid now.
Yeah, they paid, what, 60?
Probably 70, 80, I'd say.
Especially if he's going to China. They've got money there. They're chilling.
Neither Aubameyang or Lacazette would go for less than what they paid, which I think was roughly sort of 50 to 60. Yeah.
I think Lacazette was 50, Aubameyang was 60.
I think so. That sounds about right.
Yep.
Sarri looks
just before we jump off the Gooners, what's your betting? Ozil there next season or not? Because I'm putting money on not.
I hope so. That he's there. I mean,
I was like, you cheeky shit.
I don't think
he's going to be there next season.
I just know he's constantly going to be unstable while he's there. So, yeah, I hope he stays.
I think they're going to struggle to find someone that will take him, though. That's the only difficulty.
As I said on Saturday's pod, I'd sell him for free, mate.
Yeah, they'll happily probably let him go to get the wages off their books, but
I'd be trying to tout him to every fucking club in China.
Yeah.
And then he keeps the wage he wants as well.
Exactly.
And it'll be his quality of level in terms of its intensity.
Yeah, true.
He'll love it out there. Or America, an LA Galaxy or something.
Yeah. Sarri, you were saying.
Yeah. It looks like he's asked to leave, doesn't it?
I don't know. We've got Matchold in the
room.
Matchold,
what do you think?
Behind the camera.
You still want Sarri to go?
Oh, he's going Juve,
he's
according to
Matt. He's
staying
the fucking obvious there, isn't he?
Well, yeah, I mean, is Allegri gone? No.
I think Allegri is leaving Juventus.
It's confirmed, 100%.
But all the reports would suggest that if Sarri goes, it could well be Fat Frank. I think Chelsea fans...
Bad move.
We don't know, right? And it's all well and good saying it's not ready. Actually, we always criticise the big clubs for not giving an English manager a chance.
But you don't give them a chance when they haven't cut their teeth
but
in
the timing,
management. He's done one season.
The timing might be right in terms of they've got to blood some of these youngsters now if they're not spending, right?
Mm-hmm.
And actually, with him, it might be the right time to start something and actually go, okay, this guy's going to be the manager for 5 odd years. I think a little like you, that it could blow up quite badly.
How old was Pochettino when he came to Spurs?
Oh, how old is he now?
I
think he's relatively young, isn't he?
You won a cup game 7-4 or something like that, was it?
What?
You won a cup game this season, away in the FA Cup or whatever, midweek, was it?
Tranmere, 7-0.
7-0. Was it 7-0? And was that his 7th wedding anniversary? Nah, something like that. You won a game.
Oh, 6-2 at Everton.
Yeah.
And he said it was his 6-year wedding anniversary.
Oh, okay, that's what it was.
And he was like, there's your present.
But I thought that there was one which was his age. Like, I thought you'd won a game that was, he was 46, 47, something like that. I don't know.
No.
Back to it. How old was Poch when he came to Spurs 5 years ago?
Early 40s.
Okay, so Frank's late 30s, right? Still. So Poch had done at least 5-6 years in management before he came into a big six club, and I think I'd like to see Frank do a few more years before he came up to a bigger club. I don't doubt that he can get the respect of the players, and I don't doubt that he will have that commanding respect. But tactically, I think you can get found out if you haven't kind of been there a little bit.
That would be the biggest one. I think it's the one the English coaches really struggle with now.
That's why I think Steven Gerrard was very clever in going to Rangers, because it's
a two-team league.
Yeah, it's not quite.
No, it's a one-team league.
It's a one-team league with three or four clubs below in Aberdeen and Hearts and Rangers. But Rangers were always going to be second or third in that league, which was as good. As long as the gap was closing, he would have been all right. And he's kind of really being himself. I think what I've seen with Steven Gerrard gives me more confidence in him making it as a Premier League top-tier manager than Frank Lampard so far. I just think Steven Gerrard's a born winner. He didn't give a fuck. That guy is about winning.
Yeah, but I think Lampard's the same, isn't he?
Yeah, I think I could see him making a naive tactical mistake, Frank, whereas Steven Gerrard would have a little bit more of a bit more nous about him. A bit of the nasty side of the game.
Talking of managers, one that's probably gone a little bit under the radar is Chris Wilder at Sheffield United. Apparently rumours, a bit of frustration, not money to spend. And apparently West Brom are looking at him.
Okay.
You can't believe it. I mean, he's a Sheffield United fan.
Through and through.
You can't believe... I mean, we'll speak to FPL Blade about it when we have him on in a few pods' time. But yeah, that's a rumor, like, in which it, obviously you don't want to be destabilized in any way when you're about to get promoted.
No, but they can't spend money that they don't have, and they'd be foolish to rinse themselves into debt just to try and survive.
Some of the riches you make now, though, you have got to take doesn't mean, I think
it's £100 million game, isn't it?
Well, you've got to be careful with your promoted side like that, where don't forget they were in League One like a year or two earlier, right? So the budget and the wages their players on will really be low in comparison to, say, Villa. Villa are probably, a lot of their players are already tiered to be sort of Premier League wages. Think like Jack Grealish and stuff like that. What you got to be careful to do is not go mad on the wages. I think it's all right to do the fees, because then they're assets, you can sell them back.
Yeah.
It's the wages where you have to be particularly careful in that area. It doesn't mean they can't go and buy some of the best young Championship and League One talent or even Premier League talent, start picking off some of the clubs that have come down. That's destabilising worry for them, I think, if that's true.
Yeah, interesting. No other kind of transfer news really at the moment.
It's early doors.
Mm.
I learned as a Spurs fan not to fucking get excited about any of it anymore. I keep talking about... I tell you what, I did watch. I watched France against Bolivia Sunday night just to watch a different game of football and get over it.
Yeah.
Because I'm that sad.
Yeah.
Fucking hell, France were good.
Yeah, Griezmann.
And Dombele, who's been linked with Spurs. If you
Dombele?
Yeah, so it's... We like buying guys whose first letter is N, like N-G, N-Kudu.
Yeah.
So now we're going to buy N-Dombele, okay. But this guy is a player.
Yeah, where's he at the moment?
He's at Lyon.
Okay.
He was outstanding at Man City in the first group game of the Champions League, and City are apparently interested in him as well. So I know if City are interested, we ain't going there, because we just won't try and compete.
You won't try and get jacked up in a price war for sure.
No fucking bother. But I mean, priority for Spurs certainly will be a central midfield player. That's an absolute certainty. We have got, obviously, Nations League to look forward to, which starts, it'll be tomorrow night.
Today's the 5th, tomorrow.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Me and Suj can't get our heads around this idea that we're recording. Because normally we just record and go, man, shall I press the fucking button? We can't get our head around pre-recording here.
So this is going to go out tomorrow anyway. So yeah, today, Nation League starts.
I think Holland will absolutely batter us.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I looked at them. They're 12-1 to win the Euros next summer. I think I think if they win this Nations League, they won't be that price in a week's time. Nah, I'm tempted to have a look.
I don't know. The youngsters that we have, like Rashford, Lingard and co, Sterling.
Stop this.
They play better for England than they do.
No, stop this Jesse Lingard youngster bollocks, right?
Okay, he's not a youngster, but they play better for England than they have for their clubs. You can't argue with that. Although, come on, they play for England once every 3 months,
really.
It's a
shame, like, the two Chelsea boys, Hudson-Odoi and Loftus-Cheek, being injured.
Yeah, man.
Is disappointment. It's a shame. Like, England are progressing well at a fine rate. I just don't think we'll be beating Holland on Thursday night. Be interesting to see how the nation reacts if we win it.
Yeah.
Because I think...
still silverware.
The fact it's on Sky rather than terrestrial TV, I think, as well. The coverage has kind of been underneath as an undercurrent.
Yeah.
I intend to watch the game on Thursday night at home rather than go down the pub.
Yeah,
I don't know if that will change if we win Thursday and then think, oh yeah, Sunday night down the pub. Because does it matter? Do we care? Or
it'd be nice to win it, but I don't. I'm not going down the pub to watch it. I'll happily watch it at home. So
it's like the Europa League 2 of international football,
something like that.
That's a thing, you know, Europa League 2.
Yeah, 2020-21, right?
3:30 p.m. on a Thursday.
That is stupid.
Don't at me.
That is stupid.
It's a real thing, mate.
Let's see.
And Liverpool confirmed in Qatar
for
the Club World Cup, which is not the version that's going to be in 2021, which is supposedly going to be an expanded 16-team summer tournament. This is the same bollocks with one team from each continent plus the league champions from Qatar. Liverpool are entering the semi-final stage. It means they'll have at least one Premier League blank in December. And depending on how the fixtures work out, it might even work out to be two.
Wow.
Possibly. Depends how it works out with the Champions League. And I believe the League Cup scheduling, if Liverpool were to progress in that, could get very awkward.
Fair play.
So that's something to watch out for. Liverpool obviously will now play in the Super Cup against Chelsea in Istanbul scheduled 3 days before the start of the Premier League and are scheduled to play...
Is it not in... I thought it was on the 14th. I thought it was in between Game Week 1 and Game Week 2.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, yeah, I'm pretty sure. Game Week 1 starts on the 10th and I think this is on the 14th.
Oh, I need to check that out.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's in between Game Week 1 and Game Week 2, mate.
If you've corrected me, I'm fucking ultimately impressed with that. And they obviously play Man City in the Community Shield the weekends.
That's the 4th.
Before. That's Sunday obviously a really good pointer. Liverpool, Man City in the Community Shield.
Yeah, a decent game.
Really good pointer for... what will happen at the start of next season.
Yeah, go on, tell me.
The one benefit of us losing to Liverpool is, and someone mentioned this to me on Sunday, was that I won't be going to Istanbul. Thinking, yeah, that's another Thomas Cook Sport headache that I'm going to avoid.
I've got, you'd have been all right in Istanbul. I've got pals out there taking care of you. Did you find the date?
Yeah, it is the 14th, you're absolutely right. So that's in between weeks 1 and 2.
Correct.
Gotcha. Mm. I was thinking Liverpool going to have to play sort of 3 times in 6 days at the start.
So again, you're thinking, look, you've got 2 British clubs, just fucking play at Wembley and be done with it.
Pre-announced, isn't it? We get back to this Azerbaijan bollocks. If you haven't seen, by the way, the video that Paddy Power did after the Europa League final, it's one of the funniest things you will ever see. It's about Arsenal fans arguing about... whether Chernobyl was a bigger crisis than the Europa League final. I'll link it after tweet this it. Pod when we release it.
Yeah, that would be good.
Absolutely sensational. Yeah, they're a weird, fucked up bunch. I can't think that Spurs and Chelsea in Istanbul would have been as peaceful as Spurs and Liverpool was in Madrid.
To be fair, I saw a lot of stuff on Twitter of the fans all drinking together, and you need it. Like, football gets enough bad stick for people fighting. I think it was carried out in good spirits.
For a lot of us who spends kind of a lot of our time looking at Twitter and all these dickheads who are, football Twitter and all this bollocks, follow me and I'll fuck off. Yeah, all that shit. It's all about getting the digging and the hate, right?
Yeah.
A lot of these people don't go to football regularly. They don't live in that cycle of understanding. So... yeah, there's dickheads who support Spurs, there's dickheads who support Liverpool. But I think that you put those amount of people in that heat, with that amount of beer, things can go wrong. But the flip side of that is, who wants to get fucking arrested and miss the Champions League final?
Exactly, yeah.
Like, seriously,
use a
little bit
of
your noggin, right?
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
You know, no one's going to... I think if you dump the 2 sets of fans in Istanbul in August, there'd probably be a bit more trouble. Spurs and Chelsea in Istanbul would not have been clever.
Nah.
Wouldn't have been. I'm not too disappointed not to be in that. And yeah, saved a shitload of money. As I said, I spent more this weekend than you spend on your season ticket.
Friday was the 31st. I had to renew my season ticket by 5 p.m.
You did it. I was on 4:50.
3:30 in the afternoon.
Why are you such a knob?
Because my season ticket was actually in someone else's name, who was higher up on the waiting list for me, and I had to transfer it into my client reference number, which I only got confirmation Friday morning that it had been done. So then I had to phone up. So I was going to pick up mine and my son's. I'd got 2 under 16. I was only going to get 1. And then it came to it, and I was like, it's £200 for the whole season. And then for the sake of losing loyalty points and building up that record, I just paid the other £200. So I've got myself and my 2 boys, and then my brother and his missus have got theirs as well in the same block. So exciting. Right. But yeah, it was cheaper than your thing.
Yeah, got that.
Should we wind up Matt?
Wind up Matt? Matt who?
Matt Child.
How are we going to wind him up? Is this part of the podcast? This is actually part of the podcast. I don't know what you're doing.
Hang on a sec. Why is the H6 not recording? Why is the audio not recording? Matt.
Hey, Matt, what the fuck have you done?
Matt Child.
This ain't been recording, mate.
Is the red light not on the recorder?
The fuck have you done? We've got no fucking footage, mate. Come here.
Oh, there we go. Go back to worrying about Sarri. That's it. That's the end of the episode.
Oh dear, that was shit, wasn't it?
You did worry a little bit.
No, I ain't worried.
Oh yeah, I ain't worried. About as worried as
Shout out to these two plunkers, Matt and Manchild, because they're doing a lot of fucking editing for these podcasts.
No joke, mate. I spent 2 hours editing today as well. The little trip to Madrid and all the other stuff I had to do. So, all good. Let's cut it. Let's do it. End of episode 5.
So, coming up, we got tomorrow FPL Canal.
Yeah. If you want to know why his name's FPL Canal, then listen tomorrow.
You have to listen. It's exactly. Not Canal like the fucking river.
Yeah.
We do quite a bit of stuff for getting to know him and his he's thinking behind some of the numbers. We talk about the promoted clubs and good players that performed well in the second half.
Yeah.
We've got FPL Pringle on Friday.
Yeah, super knowledgeable about City.
Yeah, really good stuff. Quite detailed on City in terms of the stuff about the club and FFP and the ownership.
Yeah, nice.
And some stuff that maybe we wouldn't normally talk about City, which is really good. Johnny comes off really well. I'm not going to talk about Saturday's podcast. You can tell them what that is.
Well, it's a day in the life of so
me.
Yeah, it's a audio blog of the. It's not even 24 hours. More like 48 hours in and around the Champions League. And I've had the pleasure of listening and editing it. So
is it good?
Well, you judge for yourself. but it's not long. It's not long, but nah, it is sure. Nice to get an insight into you and the game. I thought it was really good. Followed by, then we're back to Sunday.
I think Sunday will be 3-5 who?
Gooners.
And I don't know who we got after that.
Yeah, but then we're a third of the way through 30 and 30, so keep it coming.
Fucking hell.
We're keeping the podcast short, 30 to 40 minutes, 40 minutes top, so we're not asking for too much time. But it is nice to get an insight from fans of those clubs, as well as listen to you and me, I guess.
Yeah.
Anything else to add?
Nah, let's wrap this shit up and get ready for
the
next
subscribe,
one.
Share the podcast with fans of whatever clubs. Hit the little bell sound or the notification so that it pops up when you know we've got another podcast live.
The plan is simultaneously audio and YouTube about 4 o'clock UK time every day.
Yeah, it was sometime between 3 and 4, but no later than 4. We're aiming for 4 every day. So yeah, tune in and we'll keep it coming.
Ciao Pick for now. Fast. Cue music, pricks.
Ciao for now is my line.
Oh yeah, it is actually, yeah. Do you want to do it the other way around?
Ciao for now.
Ciao for now.
Cue music, man child.
Cue music, man child.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Sports Social Podcast Network.